are so good to us, God. You are near to every broken and contrite heart. You're near to us, Lord. And we feel that nearness and that closeness tonight. We recognize how blessed we truly are. God is ready. And I want to ask you tonight, are you ready? Are you ready to hear and to respond to the Word of God? I'd like you to verbalize if you're ready. Are you ready tonight? So thankful for what we feel. God has not only sent His presence tonight, but He has sent His Word through the man of God. We are so thankful and privileged to have Brother Rima Duncan here in St. Louis with us this week. He has a passion for students. That's all right. He's traveled and evangelized extensively, ministering to young people and young adults across the U.S. He's currently in the process of starting multiple churches in the Chicago area as a metro missionary of the United Pentecostal Church. The reality is tonight, he could probably be just about anywhere in the United States, but he's here in St. Louis on a mission from God and with the Word of God to help us advance. Tonight, we want Brother Rima Duncan to come. We want him to take his liberty. We want him to preach the Word of God. And as he comes to this pulpit, I wonder, would you just stretch your hand towards the man of God? And would you pray right now in unity, Lord? We're asking, we want your Word tonight, Jesus. We want you to speak with clarity. In the name of Jesus, we need your help tonight, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're here to entertain the presence of the Lord, go ahead and open your mouth and continue to worship Him just like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up the sound of your voice. Lift up the sound of your voice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty name of the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. As you remain standing, thank you one more time for allowing me to be a part of this Friday night youth rally with you here in section 2. Greet all the wonderful young people that made their way out. And we know that there are other things that compete for your time and your attention. And we thank you for allowing yourself to be in church on a Friday night. Praise God. Some of you, this is not even your home church, and you decided, well, I'll just go anywhere. I'll go and see what the Lord will do in my life. And maybe that might not be the reason why you came. Maybe you came to see, you know, that young lady or that young guy, you know. Maybe that's what you get, but you're here. As the brother said, we're here. Hallelujah. And once you're in the presence of the Lord, anything's possible. Hallelujah. Thank you, all five of you that believe that. Praise God. Once you're in the presence of God, anything is possible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some of you kind of, that's not like a nervous clap. Should I clap or should I not? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you would grab your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 49, verse 8. Greet all the pastors, youth leaders that are here, sectional presbyter, our host pastor, and ministry of this church, sectional youth director, Brother DeLong. Greet all of you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And thank you for your hospitality, your kindness. I mean, it was so hospitable. I came here being part of the youth week of this church. Came Wednesday night. They even had a gift bag for me right on my pew with, you know, my name on it. And just a note saying a gift from the Brad DeLong and the church. And I felt, you know what, I'm gonna honor them for giving me that gift. Praise God. And I wore it tonight. This is a tie. I know we don't have video cameras or anything, but just to let you know, this is an official Disney tie. This has my main man, Tigger the Tiger, on it. Oh, yeah. Praise God. So I thank you, young people. Why are you guys looking at me like that? They have no idea, do they? You didn't give me this tie, did you? You don't have an idea either, huh? Wow, I wonder where it came from. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we definitely appreciate the hospitable gestures of kindness. And Genesis chapter 49, verse 8, kind of receiving this gift here. It kind of sparked some thoughts in my mind, and I felt like preaching something that was inspired by Disney. Amen. Bible says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. So this scripture here, the sons of Israel or Jacob is giving them some promises before he leaves the scene, passes away. He's giving them some promises and prophecies, and he's going down the line of all of his sons, and he gets to this son named Judah, and he says, you are the one who your brethren are going to admire. They're going to praise you. They're going to admire you. And your hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. It's given a word picture of being victorious and being a conqueror. And it also says thy father's children shall bow down before thee. So the Bible is kind of giving us a word picture here that Judah would be something to be admired. Something that would be at the forefront. Something that would lead the pack. Something that would be conquering and victorious. Praise the Lord. And if you are familiar with that name Judah at all, you will know that the word Judah means praise. Hallelujah. Praise. And so tonight I would like to talk for a few minutes on the subject, advance in worship. Hallelujah. Somebody say, you're going to go forward. Come on, tell somebody next to you. You're going to go forward. You're going to advance. But you got to advance in worship. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and let's pray and ask God to bless the remainder of this service. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you for your presence that is here. Your power, Lord God, that's at work. And we need you, Lord God, to have your way, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you've already done in our services. Thank you, Lord, for the lives you've already touched. Lord, those that have assembled together for this rally, Lord God, we ask you, let the microphone of heaven be turned on and let your voice echo and resonate in our heart and minds, Lord God. Loose the power of the Holy Ghost to fall in this place. Loose the angels of the Lord to minister. Loose the operations of the gifts of your Spirit. One more time in this place, Lord, loose these young people to just let go of every inhibition, Lord God, and go after the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Somebody clap your hands and lift your voice tonight. Give God a praise.
Since you didn't really give this to me, I don't want to distract you. Take it off and gift it to. I want it back, though. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Bible tells us that Judah is getting a prophecy here. He's getting some direction for his future and some things that are being spoken over his life, saying that he is going to be admired by his brethren. He is going to be a conqueror of every one of his enemies. And also, his family will be pay homage to him and look to him for leadership. Praise the Lord. And I want to make a statement tonight in lieu of us talking about this subject of worship and praise. I'd like to say something, and I want you to understand what I'm saying here. So I want to tell you here tonight that praise doesn't have to be sad. Amen. Now, I want to qualify that statement by saying many times when we get into a church setting, we kind of survey what's going on during worship and during music and things like that. And we look at people that, you know, they have their hands lifted and sometimes their face is even a little bit contorted. And we look at them and they're kind of doing this number. And we would look at that person and say, they are really touching God. They're in the spirit. That's a really spiritual person. Yeah, we'll say, oh, yeah, they're doing the ugly face. Okay, that's it. They're really getting a hold of God now. But praise doesn't have to look like that. Praise doesn't have to be a sad occasion. But the Bible tells us to serve the Lord with not madness, not sadness. It said serve the Lord with gladness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even in the Bible says that David, as he's penning these words in the 42nd Psalm, verse 5, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Meaning that when David was sad, he didn't stay that way. He didn't wallow in his depression. He didn't, you know, take his cell phone out, take a sad face selfie and post it on Instagram. Amen. He didn't throw himself a pity party. But scripture says that David talked to himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He preached himself happy and had his own little praise break. I wonder if somebody right now can begin to open their mouths and give God a praise. Come on, praise him like you're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Isn't that what it said? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I can be excited. I can be happy. I can be motivated. I can be energetic with my worship and my praise. Bible says, make a joyful noise. Everybody say joyful. Make a joyful noise. And then it says, all ye lands. Meaning that it don't just say make a joyful noise if you feel like it. It doesn't say make a joyful noise if that's your type of personality. It says make a joyful noise all. Everybody say all. All ye lands. And I did a word study on that term all, and I found out that in the Greek, all means all. I know that's a little deep, so let me break it down a little bit more. In the Hebrew, it also said all means all. It means everybody. It means it don't matter if you're quiet, if you're loud. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're poor, if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're sick, if you're well. You have an obligation to open your mouth and make a noise that's joyful unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see David is beginning to do something to get himself out of this rut. He's not going to just stay that way. He's not going to wallow in his depression. He's going to shake himself loose. He's going to get a hold of himself and begin to make sure that when he's in the presence of God, he's going to begin to worship. He's going to begin to praise. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what's going on in his family. Doesn't matter what's going on in his health. It doesn't matter what's going on in his wealth. It doesn't matter what's going on in his school, in his academics, in his thought life, in his emotions. He's going to make sure. I got to give God praise because it doesn't matter what I'm going through. He's still worthy. Hallelujah. Can I let you know something, young people? The kingdom of darkness is on a mission to intimidate the church. And through intimidation, the devil would like to silence God's people. And our enemy understands the power that we possess in our mouths. And so he releases a spirit of fear to cause us not to challenge the sin that's trying to invade our homes and trying to invade our schools and the darkness that's even trying to invade our youth groups and churches. He wants us to be intimidated by our problems, intimidated by our pressures, intimidated by people and how they think or what they think of us. But the Bible tells us it doesn't matter about any of that stuff. It says, make a joyful noise. Last time I checked, noise wasn't that quiet. Hallelujah. Noise was a little boisterous. Hallelujah. Noise bothered some. If you're making noise, it's going to bother somebody that's not getting with the program. Hallelujah. But I don't care if my noise and no. If my noise makes somebody mad, I'm going to praise the Lord.
Some of you are looking around like, they better not be low, not loud and noisy next to me. You better get ready.
Because God's fixing to do something in this service. Turn your world upside down. Hallelujah. And there's some people, they're going to get blessed. And I don't want you to get, you know, passed up. I don't want this blessing to pass you by. So you might as well just join in. Come on, poke your neighbor and say, come on with it. Come on. Now, the Bible, it says a lot of things, you know. But when it says the same thing twice, you need to pay attention to what they're saying. So we know the scripture, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that has made us, not we ourselves, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We know all these things. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and his truth endureth to all generations. Praise God. But make a joyful noise was repeated in another verse. In Psalm 98 verse 4, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. And if you didn't understand what they meant by make a joyful noise, they went to clarify what they meant. It said, make a. So praise is not silent. Hallelujah. Come on, I hear your hands. But the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. But the author went on and said, and shout unto God with.
Hey, hallelujah.
I'm not going to stay silent. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to make this place an atmosphere of victory, liberty.
Hallelujah.
I say, make some noise. So the church, we can't afford to stay silent while the world is living out loud. It's time for the church, the young people, students, even children, to begin to make a joyful noise. You've got to stop being silent, because your silence suggests compliance with the enemy's agenda. And the enemy will make noise in your life. And if you stay silent, he will dominate the atmosphere.
Hallelujah.
So you've got to stop being silent. Oh, hallelujah. In your home. When I'm talking about making some noise, joyful unto the Lord. You got to stop being silent in your school. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about lifting your voice and disrupting your class. I'm talking about opening your mouth and saying, I'm going to teach a Bible study. I'm going to be a part of a P7. I'm going to help get one started in my school. I've got to stop being silent. I know they see me and I look like I live for God, but I'm going to stop being silent. I'm going to let them hear me. I'm going to talk about the Lord. I'm going to talk about this Holy Ghost I've got. I'm going to talk about something powerful going on a Friday night. I won't be silent anymore.
Because they're not silent about their partying. They're not silent about their sin. They're not silent about the things that they're engaging in that's tearing down their lives, their morale, and their families, and their neighborhoods. So you who have the answer, you have got to stop being silent. It's time to open your mouth.
I know how it is. We get into settings like this, or we may go to a larger setting like a camp meeting or a convention or even, you know, a national youth congress, and we can get with it. We make some noise there, and we raise the decibel level of our worship. But when it's time to go back home, we get all quiet. Forget home. If you go back to your churches, we get all sedated. And it's almost like there was a different young person at the big venue than there is in our local assemblies. That is not the will of God. Hallelujah. You have got to open your mouth.
Oh, hallelujah.
Come on, the best praisers should be the teens. The best worshipers should be those that are developing their walk with God.
Hallelujah.
I know you might not have this worship team, but you can still praise the Lord. You may not have about 150 people in your youth group, but you can still praise the Lord.
You might be the only one living for God in your home, in your neighborhood, or in your school, but you can still make a joyful noise.
Read a scripture here. Psalm 91 tells us that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Everybody say a safe place. My God, in him will I trust. Surely. Now that's not a just suggestion. This is a definite word. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare or the traps of the fowler, the enemy, or the hunter that goes after small prey, and from the noisome pestilence. The Bible says that God will deliver you from the traps of the enemy and from the noisome pestilence. This is why we cannot afford to stay silent, because the enemy is making noise. There is pestilence or pests in your life that are making noise. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about physical things. I'm talking about spiritual things, emotional things that rattle around in your head and it keeps you awake at night. It rattles around in your head and it makes you feel like giving everything up. Hallelujah. But the Lord sent this preacher tonight to tell somebody, you've got to open your mouth and counteract the noise that the enemy is making. Come on. He's making noise trying to cause fear. He's making noise trying to create confusion, trying to start division, trying to impose doubt. But you have the opportunity to silence that pesky pestilence that pesters your life. And if you make your own noise, a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. That was kind of quiet. Can we make some noise in this house? Let me explain something to you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 tells us to be sober. Be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil. Everybody say as. As a roaring lion walketh about looking for people to consume, to destroy. The Bible says he's walking about. This is your adversary. This is your enemy. This is the person that's diametrically opposed to you living for God. The Bible says that he is walking around as a roaring lion, looking for people that are intimidated, looking for people that are afraid, looking for people that are in a comatose state, because a still target is easier to hit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so he's walking around making loud noises trying to create fear. Now, the Bible didn't call him a lion. Notice that. It says he's walking around roaring as one. So all he's doing is making noise. And it is said that within the vicinity of a lion's roar, that is the scope of his domain or territory, or however far a lion's roar can be heard, that is his realm of dominion. So he's walking around roaring like a lion, looking for some territory. The adversary is not a lion. He's just walking around roaring like one. The Bible only makes reference to one lion. That is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. That title lion is only reserved for one person. It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, hallelujah.
And your praise, your worship will counteract the noise of this false lion.
Look what the Bible says. It says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil any room. Don't give him any space. Don't give him any real estate in your life. Or in this realm, the Bible, the word place there they used was the word topos, or the derivative that we get words like topography, study of land and region or territory. So when the Bible is saying don't give the devil any place, it's saying don't give him any territory in your life. And that's why the devil is making noise in your life. Hallelujah. Trying to tell you you're not good enough. Trying to tell you you're not smart enough. Trying to tell you you can't live for God. Trying to tell you you might as well keep doing the things that you're doing because you can never change. I silence that liar right now in the name of Jesus. And I tell you tonight, if you would worship and if you would open your mouth, God will empower you by the power of the Holy Ghost to live above fear, to live above depression, to live above loneliness, to live above anxiety, to live above addiction. You can be a conqueror. You can be victorious, but you've got to open your mouth.
This is what you're doing when you don't open your mouth. You are allowing the devil to mark his territory.
I say, I'm not the devil's territory. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5, Jesus was called the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. Through scripture, we understand that Judah means praise. Through scripture, we also understand that God inhabits the praises, or he lives in the praises of his people. Therefore, when we praise God, God shows up.
When we praise the Lord, he is looking for that praise to make that place his place of habitation. He wants to live where those praises are. That's why I've never seen anybody receive the Holy Ghost without worshiping. Because he is looking for praises to live in. He wants to go to that location and set up his kingdom where those praises are coming from. Hallelujah. And if you want your location to be God's territory, you've got to open your mouth and begin. Oh, hallelujah. Because when you open your mouth, that lion of the tribe of Judah shows up, and through your noise, God begins to send out a roar in the atmosphere.
To silence all these fake lions, all these demonic forces and forces of darkness that are trying to oppress and depress you. And the only way to do that, you have got to open your mouth, hallelujah, and advance in your worship. Lift your hands right now. Hallelujah. There's an enemy that's standing in between you and your promise, and the only way to get him out of the way is to open your mouth and begin to invite the power and presence of God to be resident in your location. God is looking for some territory to live in. Hallelujah. We have got to worship him. And oh, praise the Lord.
Come on, that's right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Lift your voice and call on him. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have the perfect or right words to say. If all you can do is lift your voice and call on his name, you are making a noise that's attracting the presence of God to where you are.
I want to turn to this scripture here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, reading from verse 15. The Bible is talking about Israel, and they're in a really high pressure time. They were besieged by an army. It was comprised of different peoples. It was kind of like an allied forces that grouped up to attack Israel. And the king at that time, named Jehoshaphat, he was trying to seek the Lord and what to do, how to get over this hurdle, how to advance. And the Bible says that the Lord said to Jehoshaphat, "Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, for behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." Everybody say, "God is with me." "O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be," everybody say, "with me." Hallelujah. This is how God chooses to win a battle for his people. There are armies of the Ammonites and the Moabites and dwellers of the hills coming together to attack and destroy Israel. And God is saying, go ahead and meet them and don't fight. This is a war now. They're going to have their sharp swords. They're going to have their very fortified shields. They're going to have their plans of attack and military practices. But I want you to go and meet them. Don't wait for them to come. You go out and meet them and don't fight. And if I was a part of that group, I would have changed my allegiance. Because you're telling me to actually put my head on the chopping block, because these guys are about to attack us and we're not going to fight. Well, verse 21, Bible says that Jehoshaphat, when he had consulted with the people, he did something very strange to win this battle. The Bible says he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, he told them to say, "Praise the Lord." How about that? You got a bully in your life about to beat you to a pulp, and God tells you to just reach out a hand and say, "Praise the Lord." What good is that going to do? The Bible says that as they went out to praise the Lord, the Bible says they began to sing and to praise. And when they sang and praised, in a moment of a threatening danger, pending danger and destruction in their lives, the Bible says when they sang and praised, the Lord sent ambushments against all the armies that were coming against them. You know what that word ambushments mean? An ambush. I know that's real deep, right? It means that God kind of like blindsided them with a host of warriors that you probably couldn't see. Hallelujah. And all they were doing is rejoicing at a victory they had not seen yet or had not experienced yet. But before the battle was over, they began to worship and God began to go before them. If you're going to advance, if you're going to gain territory for the kingdom of God, it's going to happen with people that know how to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this tonight. I want you to turn to this scripture, Psalm chapter 115, verse 17. Now, I didn't write this. This is the only verse that qualifies somebody for not praising God. I've searched through the Bible, and there was no verses about if you're sick, you don't have to praise the Lord. Or if you're depressed, you don't have to praise the Lord. Or if you're feeling afflicted or defeated, you don't have to praise the Lord. If you praise him yesterday, you don't have to praise the Lord. There's no verse that says that. The only verse that qualifies you for being a non-worshipper is this verse. And this verse says, the dead. If you are already defeated and in the ground, there's no need for you to praise the Lord. The dead praise not the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say the dead. Now turn to the person next to you and say, are you alive? That's not a trick question. Are you alive? Are you here? So the Bible says, if you're dead, you don't have to do this. But let everything that hath breath. Hallelujah. If you still got breath in your body, you have an obligation, you have a requirement and an opportunity to lift your voice and to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we're not in a cemetery. I'm so glad we're not in a mortuary. We are in the sanctuary, and I can lift my voice and pray. I wish somebody would leap for joy. I wish somebody would open their mouths. I wish somebody would step out in the aisle and begin to give God a praise. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Some, half of you are standing. The other half are sitting. Some may be sitting because of physical conditions. And I get that. But you can still open your mouth. Hallelujah. Some may be sitting because they don't feel like standing. I get that. But you can still open your mouth. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says? You know, we have a really easy time. You know, when it's time to worship and praise, we go, somebody lift your voice and praise the Lord. I didn't know my voice was here. It's easy to do that. If we even feel like doing that, right? It's easy to do that. But if I open my mouth, that's going to cause me to get out of this comfort zone that I place myself in. Hallelujah. It's going to cause me to get beside myself. It may not be my personality to lift my voice, but if I do it, something powerful is going to happen in my life. Especially when it's harder for you to do it, God will magnify and maximize the noise that you're making.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'm telling you, somebody in this service tonight is going to defeat your enemy. Somebody in this service tonight is going to put that devil under your feet, because Judah will have the hand at the neck of his enemies. Hallelujah. Your praise will conquer for you.
Come on, that's right, it's bubbling. It's brewing in your heart. And as you open your mouth, you're going to feel them even stronger. As you lift your voice, you're going to tap into something that God has available for you in this heart.
Come on, if you're praying, continue to pray.
on, don't tell me that you can't open your mouth. Because if Publishers Clearing House came and rang your doorbell on a Saturday morning with a big old check for $25 million, let's see how quiet you'll be then. Let's see how reserved and sedated you'll be if the Cardinals won the World Series again. Oh, y'all quiet now. Hallelujah. Well, let the Cubs. Leave that alone. Praise God. Let's see how quiet you'll be. It don't even take a whole bunch of money. If our favorite sports team was doing well, we'd go buck wild. Lift our voice, act all crazy. But instead of worshiping for a whole bunch of money or lifting my voice for my favorite sports team, if I'm going to make some noise, it's going to be for the salvation of my family. It's going to be for the salvation of my classmates. It's going to be for the delivering power of the Holy Ghost. We just need to just have some good old-fashioned Holy Ghost church in this place where people begin to run the aisles again. And some people begin to stomp their feet and leap for joy. So I was inspired. I got that gift. Saul was in it. It's Disney cartoons. Who doesn't love Disney cartoons? And it sparked the thought that I remember a good old Disney cartoon about an African wild where there was meerkats and Timons and Pumbas and little lions were running around, wandering into places that they shouldn't have been in, whether purposefully or accidentally. They ended up in some pending danger. Enemy was after them. They went on the run when little old Simba, his back was against the wall, had nowhere to go. He was forced to face his enemy, and he squared up, looked that enemy right in the eyeball, and with all the gusto he had in him, he lifted up his voice and said, "Roar!" And that's exactly what the enemy did. Looked at him and laughed. What are you going to do with that little yelp? And he says, looks at him again and says, "Roar!" And they're just dying. They're cutting up, having a blast, making fun of this guy that he's making the best noise that he can. But he didn't just stop it one or two times. And the next time he lifted up his voice, he said, "Roar!" And the enemy stood up at attention and got all afraid and confused at the sound that came from this little old intimidated, looked like he's cornered, about to be defeated little lion. But they didn't know that that lion wasn't by himself, but he had a father that showed up in his time of danger. And when he lifted up his voice, the father backed up what he did. He wasn't making noise by himself, but there was a father backing up his Lord. And in this service, you're not praising God by yourself, but the power of the Holy Ghost will maximize your... I wish somebody would begin to lift their voice and begin to... God is attracted to that praise. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you really want to advance? This is how you do it. Do you really want to go forward? This is how you do it. We've got to open our mouth. I get it.
Thought I'd never say this. I'm saying it. I was once your age. And I know how it is. Sometimes it's hard for you to get there by yourself. But the Bible didn't say you have to praise him by yourself. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. That means I don't have to do it by myself. I can grab somebody by the hand. And let them praise God with me. Meaning, I don't have to do this by myself. I can get linked up and connected with somebody of like precious faith. And when I begin to lift my voice in connection with the body of Christ, you're not by yourself. You're in a house full of students that want to get a hold of the power. Why don't you grab somebody by the hand, lead them out of their row, and bring them to the front with your hands lifted. Come on, don't let them look at you like that. Tell them you're coming with me. You don't have to go up there by yourself. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Come on, that's a sound that the devil is afraid of. He doesn't want you to lift your voice. He wants to keep you quiet. He wants to keep you in. But somebody ought to break the silence tonight and begin to lift your voice. Begin to worship the Lord. Begin to dance and go worship. Come on, if you already got it, go ahead and find somebody else that's having problems. Grab them by the hand. Go on, look for somebody that needs this right now. Somebody that needs the Holy Ghost. Grab them by the hand and say, you're going to get victory tonight. I'm going to worship with you. Some things over them. Say, you're going to receive deliverance tonight. We're going to worship our way to a breakthrough tonight. You're going to receive God's power tonight.